Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that you are joining us today. All Have Another is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring, mostly women so far, to tell their story, and we just talk and have a great conversation. And it's a lot of fun for me and hopefully for you too. I hope that whatever you're doing, you're out for a run, you're cooking dinner, you're driving, I don't know, whatever you're doing, I hope that you can enjoy this conversation and feel like you are a part of it. So today we are putting out episode 12, and we're talking to Caitlin Pilkington. Caitlin is the web editor for Women's Running Magazine through Competitor, and I met Caitlin a couple years ago when I had the awesome experience to be on the cover of their magazine. And she is so great. We talk about her awesome job, experiences living with ulcerative colitis, and she just ran her first Boston Marathon this year. So we talk about that and also talk about the upcoming season of The Bachelorette. So before we get started with Caitlin, I want to ask you to please go over to iTunes and rate and review the show. I know it might be sound like kind of a headache to go do. I think it's hard to do from your phone because I can't tell you how many people have walked up to me at events and different places and said, I listen to your podcast, I love it, I'm trying to review it, and I can't figure it out. But I promise you, if you log onto your computer and do it instead of your phone, it'll be super simple. There's just a little icon, little button you can that says rate and review. You can click that and you can write a review. It's super simple. And I'm going to share a couple of reviews with you to hopefully encourage you to also review the show. Sarah Blair, 55. Hi, Sarah. This quickly became my favorite podcast. I flew through the first batch of episodes and now I eagerly await a release every Friday. Lindsay keeps the conversation fresh, funny, and interesting. Great balance between running chat and good old life chat. It reminds me of the conversation I have on my runs with my running partner. I highly recommend this. Thanks, Sarah. Erica Sarah. Perfect for early morning treadmill runs. This podcast makes the miles go by. Love how relatable and real Lindsay is. Hi, Erica. I'm so excited. Erica is actually coming on the show. We're interviewing tomorrow, and she will be on the show here in a few weeks. So that is super exciting. So anyway, I would really appreciate it if you guys would head over there, rate and review, 5 minutes. I will see it the second you do it, and I will be so excited. If you are a small business or affiliated with a business that you think might be interested in advertising on this show, please send me an email. My email is Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, at lindsayhein, H-E-I-N.com. Also, follow me on Instagram, at lindsayhein626. I'm going to be doing some awesome giveaways with some upcoming guests on the show. I know Erica Sarah is doing a very generous gift certificate with her episode, so I want to make sure you're following me on Instagram so you don't miss out on any of the goodness. And I also post all the new episodes and information on that on there as well. So let's go ahead and get started talking with Caitlin. Thanks, everybody. Okay, so we're talking to Caitlin Pilkington. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah, good job.
Thanks. Do people butcher that all the time?
Yeah, they add N's and they do Pinkerton. And I'm like, how are you getting that?
Where is that coming from? Well, I always spell Caitlin wrong. I always do the I instead of the Y if I'm writing for someone that is a Y, or if it's someone that's an I use the Y. So I screw it up either way.
Yeah, the worst is Starbucks. You get really, really good first names at Starbucks.
Oh, but doesn't Starbucks do that on purpose, like for marketing purposes or something, so people will take pictures of their cups and like put it on social media?
That's what I've heard. I've read articles that's probably about why. That. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So, okay, so Caitlin, what's your job title at Women's Running Magazine?
So I'm the web editor, so I kind of oversee everything that goes on the website as well as social media. It's kind of all lumped together.
Oh, okay. So, okay, Caitlin and I met, was that 2013? Yes.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
So 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was for our 2014 issue, so it might have been the beginning of 2014. I can't even remember.
Was it 2014? I was pregnant with Lewis, and I had him in so it was 2014. Yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
So I applied for the Women's Running Magazine contest to be on the cover of the magazine. Long story short, you submitted your story, and it was Saucony sponsored it, and it was find your strong moment, and you explained that. So anyway, I ended up doing that and winning the contest, and I worked very closely with Caitlin in that process, so that's how we met.
Yeah, I remember I was pretty nervous to do that interview with you.
Aww.
And we were sitting in the phone booth, and you were just so like normal, and it was so easy, and I was like, oh, thank God, because I wanted to do a really good job, because, you know, it was a really special,
aww,
moving story.
Thank you. Well, it's funny that you felt that way, because I was kind of nervous, but also as the person being interviewed, you feel like the person interviewing you has been doing this forever and like is comfortable, and like you're the one that should be nervous, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was still pretty new to the magazine, more or less, at that time. So it was just all sorts of nerves, but you were a great interview.
Thanks. I was like 13 weeks pregnant, and I was just coming over the first trimester tiredness, but I had jet lag a little bit. I know it's not like California's not that far from here. Like it's only a 3-hour difference, but something about that 3 hours just threw me off, and I was so exhausted that whole weekend. But I felt like when we did the interview, I was just talking to one of my friends, so it was fun. And I had told the story enough at that point, and, you know, had wrote about it and trying to get people to vote to get me on the cover and all that, that I felt really comfortable talking about it with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it turned out really good.
So, okay, let's hear a little bit about Caitlin. What's your story, and where'd you come from, and all that good stuff?
Caitlin is a born and raised California girl. I grew up in Northern California, started running competitively probably in sixth grade, all through high school, did the track cross-country thing. I didn't run competitively in college. I went to UC Santa Barbara. I kind of just, you know, ran off and on. Like, my friend tried to convince me to do a marathon, and it was actually funny because I was texting with her right before I ran Boston this year, and she's like, I remember freshman year in college, you wouldn't do LA with me because you were like, I'm only going to do it if I can qualify for Boston. And I was like, I was obsessed with Boston when I was 18. Like, I don't even remember that. So just kept running kind of off and on. And then I have ulcerative colitis, and I got really, really sick with that summer of 2006, so the summer after my freshman year of college. And I couldn't do much. And once I kind of got through this 3 month of like being in bed and just kind of really crazy health stuff, I found Team Challenge, which is the program through Crohn's and Colitis. I was like, oh, that's cool, like, new program, gonna do a half marathon, you know, whatever. So I joined a team, I met a bunch of really cool people, and I ran this half marathon, and it was just kind of like, oh, I'm good at this, like, I've always run, whatever, I'll just keep doing it. So I kept doing seasons with them, and then I kind of just stumbled into falling in love with running for a reason I never had before. I always just kind of did it because, you know, my dad ran, mm-hmm, like, it's just what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of found this new reason to run, and so up to today I've just been running and staying healthy, and colitis and running kind of just go together for me now. They kind of...
Was that your first half marathon?
Yeah, 2008 in Napa.
So were you raising money for like the Colitis Foundation or what through that? Is that what the organization does?
Yeah, so you raise money. I forget how much I had to raise, but you go with the team and you raise the funds, and then you travel with the team to, this one was in Napa, so you stay there and it kind of covers your travels and your race fee. And I've done 6 seasons with them now.
Oh, cool. So it's like a team and training type thing, but for ulcerative colitis instead of, I get what you're saying. So when did you find out you had that ulcerative colitis?
When I was 14.
You were 14?
I was in high school, and I was just getting... Yeah, when I was 14, I was in high school, and I was just getting really sick, like diarrhea and throwing up and losing weight. And we were like, oh, she has a stomach bug, oh, this, oh, that. Mm-hmm. And my mom told me that she took me to my pediatrician. She was like, she needs to go see a specialist. This is more than, you know, what I can do. And they immediately found it, mm-hmm, and immediately got me on medication. And I was good all through high school. And then college comes and you party and do all these things.
Make bad decisions.
Yeah. So I got sick in college.
In 2006, and that's when you were in college.
Yeah.
And so do you think that that was because, like, drinking and just not eating healthy and all that stuff, is that what spurred you getting sick, you think?
I think that played a part. Mm. Like, I wasn't, like, wild and crazy.
Right.
But I was, I just didn't get it. I was like, oh, I feel fine today. I don't need to take my medication. Okay. I'll just stop taking it.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, that's how it happened, probably.
So did it send you to the hospital?
No, I never was, like, super, super sick like that. I went to the hospital a few times just for, like, dehydration and stuff like that. But mostly I spent that entire summer in bed.
Just feeling like not, crap.
Yeah.
So then how'd you turn it around?
We did a lot of drug testing to see what would work. So I went on a few different drugs that made it worse. I went on one that I went on for about a year that just kind of, like, really quickly get me better enough to function. Mm-hmm. And then we tried another one that wasn't really working. I think we tried, like, three or four. And by the fourth one, we started seeing results. My doctor was like, okay, let's keep doing this one. Let's decrease the other one that's kind of just been holding you over. And then slowly but surely, by, like, October of 2006, I was feeling a little bit better.
So, like, how does that affect your running now? I mean, because you have, so you're on constant medication, like, every day, right?
Yeah, not as much as I was taking, obviously. I take one pill in the morning, and then I take, like, a bunch of different supplements.
So, like, when you get up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to run 8 miles a day or whatever, are you constantly thinking about how the colitis might affect your run and all that stuff?
Probably. It's, some days it's worse than others,
yeah.
But I would say it's always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, if I ate something questionable the night before, I'm like, oh, like, I'm going to run. Okay, like, where do I know where the bathrooms are on this run?
Right.
Or just little things like that. But every single day it's on my mind, yeah. Mm.
Do you have to get, like, preventative screenings and stuff like that? Like, is it just kind of like a health thing that you're always, like, proactively managing?
I have to get screenings, like, official, like, colonoscopies, essentially, every 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
So not that much anymore, because I've been really healthy since 2007.
Yeah.
But I check in with my GI a couple of times a year. It's been pretty under control, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are colonoscopies as scary as everybody says they are?
Your first one is, yeah, I was terrified. I was 14 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Nothing a 14-year-old needs to have to do.
Yeah, you go into these offices, and it's, like, all these 60-year-old, like, men, and I'm 14, and I'm like, why am I here? But, I mean, it's, you just got to do it, and people get freaked out, and they get all nervous talking about it, and I'm like, you know, it's my life, so.
Right. I feel like that's how people are with health, any kind of health thing. Like, you know, when women turn 40, they have to get their first mammogram, and it's just, like, scary going to do any of that for the first time. So then you talked about, we talked about this offline a little bit, but you talked about how in 2010 your colitis got really bad, you broke up with your ex-fiance, and running and everything kind of collided at the same time, and it took you a couple years to overcome all that. What did that time of your life look like? So you must have been, what, like 3 years removed from college?
Yeah, that was right. I had started dating him right when I got sick, like a month before or something. So he was there with me through all of that. And
in
then
2006?
Lead up to in 2006.
Okay.
So then college goes, graduate in 2009, right around the time we got engaged. Mm. And when we broke up, it was really hard because I just had this irrational fear that I get, like, all emotional talking about it.
That's okay.
I would never find someone else that would, like, essentially deal with what he dealt with, because it's gross. Like, it's a gross disease. You can't do much. It's embarrassing. And then, you know, relationship stuff. It's just the whole thing just is gross. So we broke up, so I was just in a really dark spot, and that affected my colitis because stress can trigger it. So it was just a lot of, like, off and on. Like, I was going through this bout of depression, and I was like, I need to do something. Like, I wasn't getting like super sick, but I'm like, this could easily spiral into something bad, and I could start, self-medicating or something. So I just started running more, and I got more involved with Team Challenge, and I got more involved with myself as a runner. And I'm like, okay, like, but why are you running? Like, why are you going out running? You need to kind of find why you're doing this. And I just sort of, I took that time to like re-fall in love with running again, probably for like the fourth time. And that's when I just started doing it regularly and realizing that I could get faster and realizing I could do different races. I hadn't been totally convinced about the marathon yet, but I was doing a lot of half marathons. And I think running really just got me through that more than, I had friends that I talked to, but you can only talk to your friends so much about the same problem. So I think, I think running got me through that and at the same time really kept me healthy.
So then, was that like a, 'cause you have a boyfriend now, right?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend now, and he is obviously over the moon supportive of everything, health, running, life,
Aw,
everything.
where did you guys
So,
meet?
running.
Of course. So then,
Yeah,
how
we
long have you
met.
been dating? So that was 2010, and then how long after that did you guys meet?
I met Ryan in 2013.
Okay, so you've been
Right?
together
Yeah.
dating 3 years or whatever by now.
Yeah, November will be 3 years.
So were you at like a, is there like a running group and, well not, well was it Team Challenge? A Team Challenge group?
No. No, it was my mom runs with people actually,
Okay.
and one of the guys she runs with knew Ryan from soccer because he's a really big soccer player. He's really good. So he came out with his friend to the running group and met my mom. And my mom came home and she goes, there's this new guy that just moved here from Connecticut. He's really nice. He's cute. Like, you should come out. And I'm like, I don't know. So, like a month and a half goes by, and I'm like, fine, I'll come. So then I met him, and we talked, and we started going out a few months later, I think.
Oh, that's so sweet. Does your mom live that close to you?
Yeah, she lives 4 miles away.
Stop. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. That, I
Yeah.
mean, my mom lives pretty close. I mean, an hour away, but not 4 miles.
Yeah, we're best friends, so it's convenient.
Oh, that's so great. Did you, so, but you live in, do you live outside of San Diego?
I live in North San Diego, so
Okay.
probably no traffic, half an hour from like downtown San Diego.
So I knew that, I know you grew up in California. Is, I mean, did you grow up right there? Like if your mom's only 4 miles away from you now?
No, I grew up in Northern California near San Francisco,
Okay.
and then 2003 we moved to San Diego for my dad's job,
Okay.
and then I just went to college, came back, and just haven't left, so.
And where did you go to college again? I know you already said.
UC Santa Barbara, so it's kind of like middle central
You've like
California.
never not lived in California.
I know,
It's not fair.
I
I mean, I always think about this with jobs and stuff, and I always tell my husband, I'm like, like wherever we go, like that's where our kids are gonna grow up. Like we could live somewhere really cool. Anybody from
Yeah.
Indianapolis, though, will kick me because they will be like, don't bash our city. We, because I love Indianapolis, I do, but come on, San Diego, like the weather there, that's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Actually, right now it's May gray. It's really gloomy
But
and
like
humid outside.
60 and gloomy.
65.
Yeah, it's actually probably going to be about 65 and sunny here today, so I shouldn't complain. Seasons are
Oh.
nice, but January, February, early March, I'm just always, every year, I'm like, why do we live here?
Yeah, come out here for the winters. It's definitely
Oh my gosh.
nice.
Wouldn't that be amazing if only Glenn worked satellite or something like that? He didn't have an office to go into because I can host this podcast from anywhere I want.
Well, maybe you come out and
Yes.
Glenn can
That's right.
stay.
But that would cause a problem because then I wouldn't have anybody to have like relieve me from the children at the end of the day.
That's a valid point.
That is a valid point. Maybe I could become best friends with your mom too.
You could. That's something I never think about because I don't have kids,
Yeah.
and everyone's like, "Oh, but who's gonna watch?" And I'm like, "Right, You have kids.
Oh yeah, I know, it's a huge deal. Well, and if that's something you ever do, living close to your mom will be super convenient. Even if she's not the kind of mom that likes to babysit, like my mom does not like to babysit. She hates it, actually. She won't say she hates it, but she totally does. And even just for like 3 hours, though, you know, sometimes it's nice if I can drive down to Bloomington and go do something for 3 hours. It's very helpful. So, anyway, I want to talk to you. There's like a million things in my notes here. Blah, blah, blah. What do I want to talk about next? I want to talk about your job, though, at Women's Running Magazine. So, is that like dream job for you?
Yeah, I would say it's a dream job. It was kind of always like the end vision for me when I originally got into the company that owns our magazine, because I started in the charity department with them. And I had a conversation with my then boss after working, because I'd known him like previously from Team Challenge. And I was like, you know, I really want to get into publishing and media and women's running. And so he kind of knew the whole time that that was kind of my dream. And then I connected with a girl who used to work there for a competitor, and she's since moved on. And I just like stalked them when I saw a job opening. I was like, I just went over to my boss's desk. I had two bosses to start, and I was just like, hey guys, like still interested? So yeah, I would say it's a dream job. I mean, it's running, it's writing, it's editing, it's all things I studied in college and I really like doing. So yeah.
It's interesting when you get your dream job or a job like that. I feel like you always have to be that not pesky person, but like that person that's like, I'm still here, I'm still interested, and you can't be nervous to send the email and just make the phone call and show up in person or whatever. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what did you major in?
I majored in sociology, but I minored in professional writing and editing.
Okay, so then what year did you graduate?
2009.
Okay, and so then was the charity job within the magazine, was it competitor?
Yeah, so Competitor Group owns Women's Running and then the Rock and Roll Marathon Series. So I worked charity partnerships for Rock and Roll when I started.
Gotcha. So that was that your first job out of school?
No, I say it's like my first quote real job, but I worked at a Barnes Noble for a lot of years, like through college, and moved up there. And then I worked at a small fitness school in between that and a competitor group.
I think so many people like graduate college and they think I have to get my real job right away. And I so remember this. So my husband did that. He was like in the business school, and that's what people in the business school did, I guess. And I specifically remember standing in the laundry room at his apartment, and some girl he went to high school with showed up in the laundry room. She must have lived in his building too. And she's talking to him about, what do you do? What do you do? And I think she worked for like Lilly or something. And I was working as a receptionist at a doctor's office because I needed health insurance. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have a real job or whatever you want to call it, for someone who just went to college or, you know, whatever. And I just remember crying, like starting to cry. And this girl was probably like, oh my gosh. This guy I haven't seen in 5 years that I went to high school with is gonna marry a crazy person. But I think that a lot of people can probably relate to that coming out of college because that's what everybody asks you, like the year after you graduate. What are you doing now? And then
I
people have these
know.
impressive titles, and you're just like, I'm a receptionist at a doctor's office, and I have no idea what I want to do with my life.
Oh my gosh, I think that's like so normal. Like people, I'm the oldest of three sisters, and my youngest sister's like, but you got your dream job like right when you graduated. And I'm like, correction, no, I didn't. I had to pay my dues just like everybody else. And yeah, you don't get it right away.
So you do, okay. So are you in the same position that you were when I did the contest in 2014 then?
No, I think I was still working on Competitor Magazine and Women's Running at that
Okay.
time.
I think that sounds right. Okay. And so then when did you make the transition to being the web editor?
I moved to Jeff's Women's Running, still associate editor. It must have been April 2015. No, that's not right. It was before then. I can't remember when I moved just to Women's Running, but I started doing web stuff for Women's Running around April of last year. April, May, June-ish, that area.
So do you, I mean, do people, like, for instance, I sent you an email and I was like, hey, I'm launching this podcast and kind of told you about it and you guys graciously put it up on your site. Like, do you have people just emailing you and pitching you stuff like that all the time? And, you know, how do you decide what goes up?
I get a lot of pitches.
I'm sure.
I think for you, it was more or less kind of a no-brainer because you had been on our cover and we had worked really closely with you, and it was a cool idea. It was a podcast for runners. It was totally relevant. I try to accommodate everyone in some way, whether it's an article or a tweet with their link or an Instagram photo or something. But we do have to, be selective and make sure it's relevant to our audience, of course. But we try to do something on some level with everyone. As long as there's relevancy, it's inspiring, and people will like it.
What do you, I mean, you don't really have a, I was gonna say, what is your theme? Like, what is your, what it, do you have like months where you're like, this is what we're gonna focus on this month?
Well, we're all around women's running. I think the print magazine, it has themes more every month than the website does. But we have kind of like loose themes. They're more day to day, I feel like, on the website because the web is just constantly like it's just this live creature all the time versus like if you're putting out the magazine, it's like that's it for like that month. So it's more like a day to day, like, oh, today's like national whatever day, like we should do something on that. Today's actually World IBD Day, inflammatory bowel disease.
Oh,
So I'm like
really?
gonna. I want to do something on that for colitis, things like that. But I think we are working towards having more kind of a theme for the website. We have some stuff coming that I don't know if I'm allowed to say yet,
Oh,
but
okay.
it'll be really fun. Like, Global Running Days in June, so that'll obviously be a big
Is
thing.
that
So
the are in like well is it Global Running Day? National Running Day is June 1st, right? Is that a different one?
they changed it to
Oh.
Global Running Day.
See, I should know more people like you because you educate me.
Yeah, I actually I am not 100% familiar with the background on that, but it's
Okay.
probably just to get
Well, it makes
everyone all over the
sense,
world.
yeah. Okay, we're not the only country that runs. How do you stay organized? Because I'm just thinking about this with even like with my podcast or and I've never perfected my blog to be one of those people where like I post Monday, Wednesday, Friday and I post this kind of post on Monday, this kind of, you know, I would like to do that and I know that that would be successful, but I've been lazy. How do you stay organized to make sure you do all that?
Google Sheets.
Ooh, okay.
We have a lot of Google Sheets because we have people working just all like remotely on trips and other states, So I have just a giant sheet of the scheduling and social media schedule and like all of our freelance partners, like what stories they've put in, which ones have we gotten up. But most days I really don't feel that organized, honestly.
I know. You look like you ha sometimes I feel like people think everybody else thinks you have everything organized and together, but you're like, but really it's all garbled up in my brain.
Yeah, if you think I look organized, then that's a compliment. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So what are some of the coolest experiences that you've had with the magazine? Just, you know, trips or anything that you've gotten to do because of that?
Oh my gosh. There's just so many. I mean, a lot of the people I've met and have now interviewed several times were my idols and still are. And I remember a colleague at one point told me when I was going to do an interview with a specific runner, he's like, "You can't fangirl. You have to be serious. Like, this is a big piece." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll try not to." But I think just, meeting the elites that have just so inspired me for so many years, seeing cool places, going to trips. Like I had an opportunity when we shot Shalane Flanagan for a cover to go see the Nike campus, and their track goes through the trees, and it's just like there's little things like that I'm just in total awe of. Boston Marathon, obviously going for work and then running it this year, to really. I can't even describe it, just seeing behind the scenes and then being part of the experience, just very cool.
So you went for work in 2015 and then ran it this year, right? I want to talk about Boston running this year, but we'll get to that. So will you, like, if you wouldn't have been there to run it this year, though, would you have been there covering it for the magazine?
Maybe. Actually, I don't know if I would have gone this year for the magazine. My colleague was there, but if I had never made it, I mean, I might have. I don't know.
Are you going to the track trials this summer?
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
I will be there, yes. I'm very excited. I am going with another one of my boss, Jesse, is going too. So I think we're going to split the time since it's such a long period.
So like you mean covering it like half and half?
Yeah. But yeah, I've never been to the Olympic trials before the marathon earlier this year, so I'm excited.
So you have to watch for Molly Ludlow. I interviewed her. I don't know if you listened to it, but
yeah,
she was like my fourth episode. But she's competing in the 800, and I'm her cheerleader from Indianapolis.
Yeah, watch her if I'm there for that event. You know, obviously Alicia is one of our favorites too. So
yeah, she said they were like really good friends. So good race. What are you most excited about for that? Do you have a specific event that you're most excited to watch?
I think the 10,000. Just, you know, because, you know, Kara will be running and trying to make the team. And I think I just like watching the 10,000. Everyone thinks it's really boring because it's so many laps around the track.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, for me, it's a lot of, like, anticipation, because, like, obviously the moves aren't really going to happen in the first half of the race. It's going to be the second half. So you're just, like, waiting. You're like, okay, like, what's going to happen? And then it's always super dramatic. So that one. And then I'll be excited to watch whatever Molly Huddle runs, probably the five. I'm just excited for all of it.
Just do you get more excited watching the women than the men?
Probably just because at this point I'm a bit more familiar with the women, just for the nature of my job and stuff like that. But I'll be super excited to watch some of the men's races too.
So here's a curveball question I didn't prepare you for, but I'm just thinking about it now. Who of all the like elite women or whatever that you've interviewed, like, I'm sure everybody's great, but like, who were you like, oh my gosh, she is just so humble and sweet and kind? Did you have anybody that just stood out to you?
I think Alicia, I didn't necessarily interview her, but I was there for her photo shoot, and I've connected with her just for various projects. She is so down to earth and funny and open. So I would say her, and then we are working on something with Stephanie Bruce.
Okay.
So I had a chance to talk to her. She is so open and I think those two come to mind.
So, and she's talking about Alicia Montano. Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, Alicia Montano.
Okay. Just making sure so everybody knows who that is. She's the one that always runs with a flower in her hair.
And the one that ran the championships like 8.5 months pregnant.
That's right. And ran like a 2:30 or something that I couldn't even run if I was in the most fit shape of my life.
Yeah, she is actually funny. I was at an event over the weekend with ASICS, and I was running by a water station. We were running a half marathon, and I accidentally grabbed Gatorade, and I don't drink Gatorade.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw it, and I was like, oh, no, I grabbed Gatorade. And then out of nowhere, Alicia, who was doing a workout, runs by, hands me a water cup, and keeps going.
Oh, my gosh.
Because she saw what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know what to do. I was like, thanks, because she's like way far ahead of me within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh, that is so sweet.
I thought it was like really funny too.
Well, yeah, that's hilarious. So Stephanie Bruce too, she's all over the like social media and stuff with her, like the body image stuff, post baby and all that good stuff. So that's been a good thing to see.
Yeah, yeah, she's definitely really open, honest, inspiring to moms and runners and. Yeah.
Well, the thing about that, too, is, like, after you have a baby, everybody's body adjusts differently, like, during their pregnancy and after their pregnancy. And what did she have? Like, a stomach? Like, something tore in her stomach or something, didn't it? Do you know?
Yeah. I honestly forget the name of what the specific thing was called. But, yeah, I think she's been so open on Instagram. Yeah. You know, it got picked up and essentially went viral because she was talking about something that not a lot of postpartum woman, I guess, are comfortable talking about.
Yeah, and I always feel, and I am going to work so hard this time around, so I'm pregnant with my third. I always feel like after about like 2 or 3 months of having the baby, I feel like my stomach should be back down, and I don't know, whatever. And so whenever there's a picture of me and I still look pregnant, I get self-conscious every time. And I'm embracing that this time. I'm not going to be self-conscious because that's what your body does, you know?
Yeah, and I'm so sorry. I meant to say congratulations. Oh. I saw that you were with your third.
Oh, that's okay. I think you said it in an email, so that's okay.
Well, I meant to say it here.
It's like, I feel like once you get to number three, people are like, oh, okay, congratulations, you're pregnant again. You know how to do that.
Yeah, it's still so exciting, and like, you're so cute when you're pregnant and running in your posts. They're awesome.
Well, I try to not be an annoying pregnant poster, but whatever. I just do me, and you know, if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. Well, and I was pregnant on the cover of your magazine.
You were. I remember that.
13 weeks. You weren't at the photo shoot, but here's a funny story about that. When the morning of the photo shoot, first of all, I didn't realize how exhausting it was going to be, like how tiring. I think not pregnant, I don't think it would have been that tiring, you know, because it's like, I don't know, 6 hours or something like that, but I was just exhausted in general. And but anyway, that morning we went to breakfast somewhere and I was like stuffing my face with delicious French toast. And I remember thinking, I'm so glad I'm pregnant, because if I wasn't pregnant, I would be like eating an apple or just something, you know, light for breakfast so that I could look fit on the cover that day, or, you know. And so I didn't have to worry about that at all. I was just like, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, you look great.
Oh, thanks.
That was a great cover.
It was fun. It was good. So you ran Boston this year.
I did.
And did you qualify in your first marathon?
Yeah, I ran the Carlsbad Marathon here in San Diego, January 2013. I'm sorry, 2015.
Okay, so when we met and you interviewed me, I remember you were saying, like, you wanted to run a marathon, but when you wanted to do it, you wanted to do it right. You know, like, you didn't want to just run it to run it. So, did you get a coach?
I didn't. I followed the plan from Mario Fraioli's book. Mm. I just kind of, you know, I texted him because he's a colleague at Competitor and told him what I wanted to do, and like, we checked in every once in a while, but for the most part, I just followed that plan.
What?
And had, like...
Go ahead.
I was to say, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing.
What did you, like, what kind of mileage did you peek out on?
The longest week was, I think, just under 60.
That's pretty high for your first marathon.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of friends, and, like, it was pretty low compared to what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But I had to take into consideration, like, the nutrition component a lot, because I never pushed my body that far, obviously. And with colitis, running can kind of aggravate it a little bit.
Sure.
So I was like, I won't be able to do that high mileage. Maybe down the line, but not for my first one.
So then, did you peak out your long run at, like, 20 miles?
22 was okay. The longest.
I feel like that's kind of the trend these days. For a long time, I felt like people peaked out at 20, and now it's 22 is the new 20 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that much experience with it, but all my friends were like, wait, you did 22? And I'm like, isn't that what you do? Isn't that normal? I don't know.
It seems like these days, and I have some people that I coach that I only put through 20 as their longest, and a lot of times people will say, can I do more? Because it makes them nervous that they're 6 miles short of the, you know, race. Do you think that gave you confidence that you did 2 extra miles over that 20?
I don't know if the 22 as much as the 20.
Because,
like, before that, I hadn't even run faster than, like, a half marathon. Mm. Or further than a half marathon. So every single run after that was a confidence builder.
Yeah.
But when I hit that 20, I was like, okay, I can do this.
How, like, many 20s did you do?
Just one.
Okay. So you did 120 and then 122?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. So you recommend his book? And his plan, Mario's.
Yeah, I've given it to a few people that are doing, like, their first marathon, and they followed it. So
So you ran
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
3:29.
I liked the workouts.
Yeah. So you ran 3:29, right? So you were
Yeah.
6 minutes under your Boston qualifying time.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
So was that kind of your goal, or was your, I mean, were you was your goal 3:30?
My goal was to make it to Boston, but then when
Okay.
I realized I ran with a friend who I knew through Team Challenge as well, and he's this crazy ultra guy. So he's like, "Do you want me to run with you?" I'm like, "Okay." So we were running, and when we realized that I was on pace to possibly break 3:30, it was right around the time where I started hitting the wall or whatever happens at mile 19. So he's like, "No, like you can do this." So he basically pulled me through, more or less. We found the pacer for the 3:30 group in the last mile, and we passed. And yeah.
So then when you crossed, were you like ex super excited that you went under that 3:30 barrier?
Yeah, I think I was excited like a little bit later. Like when I first crossed, it was actually like I thought I would be like crying and ecstatic, but when I crossed, I was kind of like,
Done.
"Oh, okay, we're done. Can I sit down?"
So then with Boston, so it was a no-brainer you're going to Boston. Like if you qualified, you were going.
Yeah, that was the goal, yeah.
So then at Boston, did you train to PR? Did you train to run Boston? Like what was your, you know, because some people just run it for fun. What was your goal there?
The goal changed a lot for Boston. Boston training was a challenge and really exciting at the same time. Of course, marathon training always is. I forfeited any PR goals, I think, probably about a month out, probably further, like 6 weeks out. My long runs weren't going the way they should if I wanted to PR, and I was getting way too stressed out. And I was like, this could be possibly the only time you run Boston. Like, why are you stressing out about this? Like, you know it's a hard course, you know that it's not a PR course. You aren't willing to put in the work, you're tired. Like, just do it. Like, you're trained to run the marathon, just enjoy it. So I kind of just kept training at like that level, but didn't really push it beyond that. So I just came to like just finish, enjoy it. Like, it's gonna be the greatest run you ever run, so
Just go to the start line and do what your body tells you to do, like just feel it out by throughout the race.
yeah, exactly. That's what I did. It was really hard, but it was really fun.
Do you think though living in San, I mean, 'cause it was like everybody's talking about how hot it was. Do you think living in San Diego, like to you, it didn't feel as hot as it would, you know, like somebody who's been training in the winter in Indiana all winter, you know?
No, it's funny you asked that because I saw that everyone was like, it was so hot, and I got texts like, "Oh, good job, it was a rough day, it was so hot." And finally, by like the 50th person that like had emailed me, I was like, actually, it wasn't hot. It had been hot. It had been hot and humid in San Diego like my entire training, and our summers have been brutal the last few years. So when I got to Boston, I was like, this is great. It's dry. It's what, 73? It's fine. But I totally understand someone who's been training on the East Coast through like a brutal winter. Like, of course, it was really hot. But
Well, and that's why training for marathons, living in cold weather climate in the winter, like training for a spring marathon is it's tough because, well, it's tough to get out there and train in the snow and the grossness, but then likely your spring marathon is gonna be warm for you for what you unless you've been training in a hot room on a treadmill. So I like to tell people that live over in the cold weather that fall marathons are the way to go.
I would agree. I've never lived in a really cold climate, obviously, but I can't imagine.
So, are you what's next? Like are you do you have another marathon on deck? Or are you taking a break?
I have another marathon, and I haven't actually shared that with much of anyone. My boyfriend and I have plans right now to run Rock and Roll San Diego, which is June, the end of June.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, so it came about, it was not my idea. It came about because I missed requalifying in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we were flying back, he's like, "Why don't we just do Rock and Roll San Diego? It's here. It's not like we have to pay all these travel expenses, and
Simple.
we'll just do it. We'll do it and see if you can requalify. And you know, if it sucks, it sucks. We'll do the half or we'll drop out or something." And I was like, "I don't know, like, so we're gonna see."
So, did you know that was my first marathon?
I remember that
Yeah.
when you said that.
And I did qualify for Boston there, but
Yes.
it was so long ago that the qualifying time was 3:40 for women under 35.
Oh
So
my
I
gosh.
literally ran a 3:39, like 05 or something. So
Oh my
technically, I
gosh.
did qualify on my first marathon, but not with the current standards.
Yeah, but at the time,
But
you
it was a great race
did.
at the time I did. And but I do specifically remember at the end of that race, and you probably, I'm sure you've been there to spectate before since it's right there, right?
Yeah.
They had like military jets flying toward at the end, like flying around the course or something. And I remember I felt like my body was shutting down, just like I felt like I'm going into like complete organ failure. Like I felt so bad. And I remember thinking, I wish those jets would just like drop bombs on me right now. And the whole race, I kept trying to think, you're in San Diego, it's beautiful, look around, enjoy the scenery. But about mile 24 or 25, I just remember thinking, just somebody in this misery for me.
Oh my gosh. Well, when you ran it, they still ran up the freeway, right? The 163. You had to do that.
I think so. I mean, it was 2008. I don't really remember. I mean, it was a really good first marathon experience. But you know, back then too, like I talk about it was like it was like 50 years ago. I wore just like a normal watch. Like I had no idea about pace or anything like that. I was just like, I'm gonna run, and I think I'm gonna try to break 3:40 because I hear that's the Boston time. So, just very novice and didn't really know what I was doing, but that'll be fun though. So, because you'll know people on the course, right?
Hopefully. I have some other coworkers are running the full and a bunch are running the half, and yeah, it goes through my sister's neighborhood who lives
Oh,
down
fun.
there, so hopefully I'll see people and it won't be too terrible.
Oh my gosh, I can't stop talking about how I'm jealous that that's where you live. So, okay, if you don't qualify, but I think you will, I hope you will. Do you think you'll do one in the fall?
Marathon? Probably not.
Yeah. Well, you have until September, right?
I think it's either gonna, this is just like such a random idea. It's either this to get in 2017. If not, I'll do a 2017 early marathon and try to get to 2018.
Well, you know, I just read a blog post. Molly, I think her last name's Turner now. I see both of her maiden name and her new name now on the internet. So I don't know which one's her last name now. I think it's Turner, Molly Turner. She, do you know who that is?
I've heard the name. I'm not
Yeah.
sure I know who it is.
Well, she re recently ran Boston and just didn't run the time that she was trained for, and just on a whim picked up and ran a marathon. I think it was last weekend, and she didn't plan it or anything, just like what you're talking about. And she ended up running. I don't know what time she was training for Boston, but she ended up running a 3:10 at this marathon. I think she won the marathon. But I mean,
Oh my God.
I was tweeting her about it because it was kind of just like, I love that idea because it kind of takes the pressure off and the stress off of like, I have to do this exact thing and I'm in shape, so let's just see how I feel and do it, you know?
I think his idea was, you're already in shape, yeah,
Right.
from training.
Yeah.
So just kind of like maintain,
Do some
We'll see.
16-milers, yeah. And it's far enough out that you're likely recovered, and that's exciting. So I'll have to sign up to track you for sure. Okay, so we have to get to some fun stuff, but do you have any bucket list items? Like, so I just had friends complete the rim to rim at the Grand Canyon, and now I've suddenly added that to my bucket list.
Oh my gosh.
what are yours?
Well, running wise, I don't know if it's like a bucket list, 'cause I think that we have plans to kind of do it already. But I want to do the Paris Marathon
Ooh.
just for fun,
Fun.
because we had a Ryan had some friends that came out that live in Paris, or live near Paris, and we were just talking about it, and we're like, we gotta do that. We gotta do a trip with a marathon and then tack on like 2 weeks
Oh,
through
yeah.
whatever country we're in.
Do
Do
the
that. I
fun
think that'd be
after the
fun.
marathon.
I think the biggest one not running related is I want to get scuba certified.
Ooh.
But ever since I was little, my mom has always told me I'm the water baby. I'm a Pisces. I love the water, and
Aww.
I'm not really like afraid of it necessarily. So I will never skydive ever in my life,
I don't think
but
so.
I will scuba dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've snorkeled, but I've never gone scuba diving.
I think I would be scared of the fish creatures down there.
I don't know. I thought so too, but we can swim out in the cove here in San Diego out of La Jolla, and you can see all that, and it's like really scary when you see like the little mini sharks. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, oh, it's kind of cool. Like, I kind of want to go down and check it out. Bucket list running. I'm like curious about doing an ultra. I don't know if I'm totally sold on it. Mm-hmm. But 50,
like a 50 miler,
probably a 50K, just first, like a, like 30 whatever miles. I'm curious. I've watched Ryan do a couple, so I don't know. We'll see.
So does, is he's an ultra guy, your boyfriend?
He does everything.
Yeah. Is he, he is does, he super speedy?
He is. He has natural speed from soccer. Mm. He's never fully trained for a race, so I keep telling him, I'm like, if you really dedicated, you could be really fast.
Yes. Get on that.
He for a second, he was like, maybe I'll try to get to Boston, but his qualifying time is like 3:10 or something.
Oh, he so can, though. I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when Glenn, my husband's, first started running marathons, we were like, he is never going to qualify for Boston. It's just not, he's not a talented runner. Like, he just runs. And we were the exact same speed. And he trained a little bit and ended up running a 3:24. Then he ended up running a 3:17. And then he was like, okay, now I'm going to qualify. And now he's like, ran a 2:49. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, and when we first, I beat him in our first marathon, you know? So I just like, if you want to do the training, and he could totally qualify.
Yeah, he could.
Just hand him a training plan and say, follow this for 12 weeks, and let's see what happens.
If I can pull him out of his love for soccer, yes.
That's true. Those soccer players are always good runners.
Yeah, he's really good.
So, okay. Oh, I know. We need to talk about Nashville. Are you done with the show Nashville?
I am so depressed right now. I did not watch last night's yet. I need to watch it today. So don't tell me.
Wait, no, I'm not caught up. I guess I'm confused. Wait. So I've been binge watching it on Hulu for probably a month or two, and I'm just now on. It's season 4, right?
Yeah, season 4. Yeah.
So I'm in season 4, and I think I'm on episode like 15. I didn't realize there were still episodes being shot right now, being put out.
Yeah, they're on every Wednesday. I think there was 3 left till they're canceling it. So last night was the first of those 3.
Okay, so they'll have an opportunity to like make it seem like a real finale.
I hope so. I'm assuming they already recorded it. So I'm like, my mom watches it too. She's like, they can't leave this. They can't leave that. They have to end things properly.
Yeah, so I kind of thought when I saw that it was canceled, because I've been so backed up. I've actually been wanting to watch this show for like 2 years, and I knew I would love it, but we didn't have Hulu and we don't have like regular cable, so everything I watch is on like Netflix or Amazon Prime. So now we have Hulu, and as soon as I saw that and the Mindy Project, I was like hooked. But I have to say, I'll tell you who's getting on my nerves is Deacon.
Oh boy.
just because like it's time to like stop fighting with people and like just be a grown up, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do when it's over. I got to find another show.
I don't have another recommendation because I'm in the same boat.
Got to find a show like Nashville that's kind of like mindless but fun. Know.
I think I read that like they're trying to get it to some other network or something. To sell it so it can keep going, so I'm like hoping, but I don't know, I don't have another show that's like that.
I know.
I'm hoping to find one too.
Well, surely you've watched Friday Night Lights.
I've never watched
that. Okay, well then there you go. You're taken care of.
Okay, I'll watch that. Well, I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, you know Connie Britton's like the mom in that show.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot.
You'll love it. If you like Nashville, you'll love it. Actually, I think I like Friday Night Lights even better than Nashville, so...
Okay.
So you admitted to me via email that you, or maybe it was text, that you watched The Bachelor for the first time this season.
Oh my gosh.
How'd you get conned into that?
I don't even remember. I think just like all my friends watch it and I was like, fine, I'll see what the big deal is. And it was like probably the worst TV I've ever seen
it's
in my
so
life.
Bad.
But I was like, okay, well, now I gotta see what happens after this. And you get sucked in, and now you're like at the finale. You're like, I just watched an entire season.
And you said you were a JoJo fan.
I was. None of my friends liked her,
Who
but I
played?
thought she was really cool.
Is it Emily? Is that her name? No, what's the girl that won? Lauren B, right?
Yeah, Lauren B. Yeah.
So were they Lauren B
Yeah.
fans? Well, I always said like Lauren B was the safe choice for him to pick. I felt like I didn't dislike JoJo, but I just felt like they were definitely going to end in a breakup or a divorce or whatever if he landed with JoJo. Maybe because of her family, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought Lauren B was like really boring. So I was just kind of.
And she was the pick from the start. Like, I mean, I just felt like
Yeah.
she was like always the front runner. He actually went to IU where I went to college, and they've been like gallivanting around Bloomington in the past like couple like past months or so. And so I had like all these people on my social media that had like seen them out on Kirkwood taking pictures with them and stuff.
Oh my gosh. My friend told me that it's crazy. Like, between the time that they end the show and the time it airs, like, they're in seclusion in various places because they can't, like, reveal it. Like, they aren't allowed to go out and they move them, like, every 3 days.
How do you like live like that? I guess if they're together. I mean, the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around though is like who is like funding your life? Like you just pick up and quit your job to go on the show, not The Bachelor, but the contestants, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then like Lauren or whoever, she was like a flight attendant or something, but then she has to completely put her life on hold. I don't know, maybe that's something that if you make it so far into the show, the network pays you to live. I mean, like, how do you do that? So,
Don't know.
okay, there's an article going around that we talked about, and it was kind of just a comedy article about this season's Bachelorette, and it had the guys ranked in terribleness based on their shirt that they were wearing or whatever. Did you pick out your guy?
Okay, so I picked a guy, but I don't think I saw that article.
Oh, it was
But
a different one?
I saw a different one of all of them, but I picked my guy based on his shirt.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. I couldn't pick one. I picked three, but I could narrow it down to just one, I guess. I wrote them all down. So if anybody's a Bachelor fan, look up the article so you can see the guys and get your pick too. I'm always jealous of, I see these girls posting on social media, like they have their Bachelor parties, which I can't do. You could, probably. I can't do that. I mean, because Bachelor, what does it play at, like 6 in California?
No, I think it's on. I think it was on eight.
Oh,
Eight or
okay,
nine.
so it still is on an 8 where you are. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just too late for me on a Monday. If it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, I can't start my week being out with my girlfriends, drinking
Yeah.
wine, watching The Bachelor until 11 o'clock. That's just a hard way to start the week. It's a fun way to start the week, but I'm just thinking of Tuesday morning, how hard Tuesday morning would be.
Right.
But I still get jealous of all those parties. And I have a group of friends. They meet every Monday, and I'm on a text train with him. So everybody's always texting during the show. And I'm always a little bit jealous I'm not there, but I'm also excited that I can just like turn off the TV and run upstairs to my bed as soon as it's over.
Yeah.
Okay, so who did you pick?
I picked Chase.
He's one of my three, too.
I knew he would be. I knew he would be. Because I was like, okay, she really liked, oh my gosh, Ben.
Oh,
So I'm
yeah.
like kind of like got a Ben vibe. Because a lot of the guys just gym rats to me. And he wasn't wearing a V-neck. I don't know when guys started wearing V-necks, but it's just like one of my pet peeves, and I feel bad because I have guy friends that do, and they're probably gonna listen to this, but I can't
That's
with the
okay.
V-neck.
Glenn wears V-neck sometimes too.
I don't get
Yeah, it's
it.
definitely gotten trendy in the past like 3 years, I feel like. I picked Chase, so he's a medical sales rep. I don't know if you remember these other two. Or no, okay, so Chase, medical sales rep, Derek, commercial banker, and then Chad, luxury real estate agent. Those are my three
Okay.
choices. So I think my point is this time I'm actually going to make one of those charts. Like Ellen used to do this on her show and get your picks from the start and see. See, I mean, I'm gonna get serious about it.
I don't know if I'm good at it, 'cause when I watched The Bachelor from like the very first episode, I was like, "Oh, that girl's cool." And she didn't even make it through the first episode. And
And then
I was
nobody even
like,
knows who she is.
Yeah, she was like the only down-to-earth real girl, and she didn't make it.
Did she have red hair?
Yeah, she was like the farmer girl, or I can't remember. She might have been blonde.
Yeah, those people that are kicked off on the first two episodes, it's like they never existed almost.
Yeah.
So will you watch The Bachelorette since JoJo's the lady?
I might have to. I might
Yeah.
have to see what happens.
Will you swear it off, The Bachelor, for future seasons then?
I think like I might like catch bits, but I don't know. I don't have a huge desire to watch it again, but I don't know. We'll see.
It's just so bad and so stupid, but it's mindless, and I always like mess around on my phone or do something else while I watch it, but it's almost like a game to me at this point.
Yeah. I remember specifically watching The Bachelor, the episode where Olivia gets left on that island. And I'm like watching this and I'm like, this is so ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
She's like sitting there crying, and obviously they're not leaving her on an island, so it's like they're gonna cut and then go get her.
Right.
And I was,
How
it's
embarrassed is
so,
she for the rest of her life? Hopefully she can get over it, but that's
yeah.
scary. So, are you a reader? Do you have any books that you're loving right now?
I have like five books that I've started, and I'm just kind of like reading a little bit of each of them. But The First Ladies of Running by
Okay.
Ambi Burfoot. I got that when I was in Boston, and I started reading it on another trip. And it's just a bunch of different profiles of the woman who basically got women to be able to run back in Catherine Switzer area and Bobby Gibb and all of them. But a lot of the stories in there I had never heard, and there's it's so interesting, like what women had to wear before they had sports bras. Like we're so spoiled with our sports bras now,
Oh, yeah.
and just how all of that came about and how they had to like sneak around, and it's interesting. So it's like a nerdy runner book that I'm reading.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you know any what the other four are?
I was reading, well, the other one's Born to Run. It's another running book, and then
I've started that a couple times and I don't know why I can't get it finished. I know it's a good book.
the first nine chapters, I think seven or nine chapters, are kind of slow.
Okay, so maybe
But
that's my problem.
when you get to towards the end when they're actually doing the run, it's a lot more interesting. And then Unbroken, I loved that book. I just finished that recently.
I read that. It's
And
good.
the movie was eh, but the book is outstanding, I thought. I reread Water for Elephants recently.
Oh.
I read that a long time ago. It's an older book. It's not new, but I really that's one of my favorite books, so I read it a lot.
I think I have read it. What is it about again?
It's the guy who the older guy who's kind of reliving his life when he worked at the circus, kind of like during the Great Depression.
I totally read that like years ago, but it's one that I would reread for sure.
Yeah, I like that one. I honestly don't read as much as I should. Just I feel like I'm constantly reading things for my job, like social media stuff. So I read a lot, but not like I haven't sat down and read a book really in
Yeah.
a long time. But I'm trying to,
You almost
get
have
back
to
to doing that.
like force it into your schedule to make it a
Yeah.
priority.
Yeah.
Do you have we'll wrap up here in a minute. Do you have any concerts you're going to this summer or anything?
Yes, we are going to Caboo. It's a 3-day music festival in San Diego. It's put on by the people that do Coachella. So they have a really good lineup. I went last year, so we're going to that.
So does that mean like you can't shower for 3 days before you go? Is it like a big hippie festival?
No, it's pretty like North County, San Diego, pretty, yuppie,
Oh,
like
okay.
kind of like more wealthy style
Okay.
hippie, I guess. No, but it's really fun. It's outdoors at the fairgrounds, and they did a really good job. And they have Jimmy Buffett's going this year, Jack Johnson, Fall Out Boy, a
Who are you
bunch
most
of other
excited to
people.
see?
Oh gosh, Goo Goo Dolls, because Blast from the Past.
Oh, yeah. High school.
I
For me, at
know.
least.
Third Eye Blind, One
Oh, my
Republic.
gosh. Third Eye Blind.
I know, really old school.
I had a roommate in college, like a random roommate that I only lived with her for like 6 months, and her boyfriend were like huge Third Eye Blind fans. And I'm like, Who's a huge Third Eye Blind fan? Like, I feel like that's a band you hear on the radio and you like some of their songs, but you're not like, I'm a diehard Third Eye Blind fan.
Yeah, I think them and Goo Goo Dolls is strictly like a blast from the past type. Like, I remember that song when I was like sad about like my high school
Oh
boyfriend
my
or like
gosh, Goo Goo Dolls.
whatever.
What's the song? And I don't want the world to see you. That song.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of
I
it.
don't either, but that was a song that I had
Yeah.
with like in my head with my end of high school boyfriend.
Yeah, I went through a huge Goo Goo Dolls phase, so
That's so
I'll have to see
funny.
them.
You hear those songs and it just like I don't know, sometimes it makes you feel old, but it puts those memories so clearly in your head. Well, this has been really fun. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on, and this is good.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've listened to a few of your other ones, and
Thank
it's super fun. It's inspiring me to start my own projects, so.
Awesome. Yes, that is just what you have to do because it's easy to want to do something and then to actually like start get the ball rolling, you know? But it's not like you're not busy. It's not like you don't have a
Yeah.
lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Caitlin.
Yeah, thanks, Lindsay.
Okay, that wraps up episode 12. Thank you so much, Caitlin. That was a lot of fun talking to you, and thank you to everyone for listening. I truly appreciate your support, and I just want you to know that anytime you tweet me or leave an Instagram post or Facebook message, whatever, everything I see, I appreciate, and it's making this all worth it and making it a lot more fun than it already is. So, thank you for that. I will put everything we talked about, all the links to the books, the shows, everything we talked about with Caitlin, Women's Running Magazine, that will all be linked in the show notes on my website, lindseyhine.com. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next Friday.